Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 25. The book of Matthew, chapter 25. Now, if you know anything about the gospel writers, you know that at the end of each one of the gospel, and there's only one gospel, but written four different ways, at the end of each one is the story of the crucifixion of Christ. But in chapter 24 and chapter 25, Jesus gives some words of prophecy. And it tells us in chapter 25, verse 31, when the Son of Man, and let's read this together, and I'll read it, you listen, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave Me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took Me in. Naked, and ye clothed Me. I was sick, and ye visited Me. I was in prison, and ye came unto Me. Then shall the righteous answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we Thee hungered and fed Thee, or thirsty and gave Thee drink? When saw we Thee a stranger and took Thee in, or naked and clothed Thee? Or when saw we the sick or in prison and came unto Thee? And the King answered, a King shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these My brethren, ye have done it unto Me. Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from Me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave Me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave Me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took Me not in. Naked, and ye clothed Me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited Me not. Then shall they also answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we Thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto Thee? Then shall He answer them, saying, Verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not unto Me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, for the righteous, but the righteous into life eternal. It's an interesting account here. Years ago, when I was at Bob Jones University, I heard a preacher. His name was Dr. Paul Vannerman, and he preached on this passage. And he brought out some things that I thought was just pretty insightful. And so I've taken what he has said and kind of put it into a sermon outline to understand this passage. But I think this is very, very important for us. Now, it's interesting. John Broadus, one of the great commentaries in the book of Matthew, says this. The morning after reaching Palestine, when setting out for Ramla across the plain of Sharon, we saw a shepherd leading forth a flock of white sheep and black goats, all mingled as they followed him. Presently, he turned aside into the little green valley and stood facing the flock. And when a sheep came up, he tapped it with his long staff on the right side of the head, and it quickly moved off to his right. A goat he tapped on the other side of his head, and it went to his left. Thus the Savior's image presented itself exactly before our eyes. And that's kind of an interesting thing. So you have this judgment that is mentioned here. Now, I think it's important that we understand this passage, interpret it accordingly. Some people have really missed the mark as to what the context is. Now, basically, Jesus is about ready to die. And he will go to the cross. And he will be, in the eyes of those who were his enemies, a failure. But yet, what we see in verse 31, that he is going to be sitting on a throne. Now, the interesting thing about this is that it tells us when this judgment is. It says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory. Now, when does the Son of Man come in his glory? Well, if you go over to chapter 24, you'll see in verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And it tells us that he will come with power and with glory, and he is going to sit on his throne. Now, according to the book of Daniel, chapter 12, what is happening here is that there is a 75-day difference of time between the end of the tribulation, when Christ comes back, and the setting up of the millennium. Now, think about that. It's kind of like our elections that in November, 4th or so, that our president is elected, but he really doesn't set up his government until January 20th, about 70 days later. Well, that's kind of the picture what we have here. So this is referring to this judgment, and if you notice here, it says that he shall come in his glory, and it says in verse 32, shall be gathered all nations. This is known as the judgment of the nations. Or some have called it the judgment of the Gentiles. And God is going to basically distinguish between those who are goats, who will go into hell, and those who are the sheep, who are going to go into the millennium and live eternally. So this is an interesting judgment. Now, the comparisons of this judgment, and I want to just present it this way, that there are different judgments in your Bible. And we're not wanting to talk about them. Just as the Gentiles will be judged, so will Israel be judged. We see that in the book of Ezekiel. But there's also two judgments that we're familiar with. For instance, we're told in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, of the great white throne judgment. That is a judgment of unsaved people. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life is cast into the lake of fire. So basically, that is a judgment of the lost. And that happens at the end of the millennium, okay, according to Revelation chapter 20. Then there is the judgment seat of Christ. Okay, what is the judgment seat of Christ? That's a judgment of believers. It's actually called the Bema Seat. And the Bema Seat is a judgment kind of like the Olympics. You know, when somebody wins the gold, they get the top honor, and someone gets the silver, and someone gets the bronze. Nobody is necessarily being punished for the wrong that they've done, but they're being rewarded for the good they do. And we're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive those things done in our body, whether it be good or literally worthless. And of course, we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that in that judgment, there is going to be a measuring of that which we have done that has pure motives or bad motives. But the issues, and I want to say this, the issues in Matthew 25, 31 through 46 gives us some idea of the kind of things people are judged over. And so we don't want to confuse the judgments, but we can be assured of this, that there is a pattern here, and there is something for us to see that would help us. And I thought this would be help to us here on this Wednesday evening. So that brings me to the title of our message, The Real Issues of the Judgment. So what is it that these people are going to be judged by? And probably we can learn some things from this. And maybe when we stand before the Lord, whether it be at the Great White Throne Judgment, hopefully none of you would be like that, but if you're listening on the internet, the Bible tells us that if you die without Christ, you will go to hell. And you will be judged. But for us who are Christians, for we who are Christians, the Scripture tells us that we have to answer to the Lord. So, what kind of things are mentioned here? I want you to see, and I want you to consider a few things about the issues of judgment here. Number one, they are not obvious. They are not obvious. And you'll see that when Jesus talks to the people on the right, his sheep, as well as when he talks to the people on the left, the goats, they respond by, if you notice in verse 37, when saw we this? Or verse 38, when saw we thee? And so they basically, in verse 39, when saw we thee sick? In other words, they didn't recognize it. Also, you'll see it in verse 44, when saw we thee? So in other words, this is not something that they thought was that big a deal. And the things we do now will be important one day when we are standing before the Lord. And sometimes we don't even realize it. The second thing about that regarding the issues being addressed, the issues are being carefully observed. Notice who is watching. You tell me. Okay, the king. Who is the king here? Jesus Christ. And Jesus is taking note of everything. Jesus is watching every move. And he knows what we are all about. He knows what our character is. He knows what our thoughts are. He knows what our motives are. This is why at the judgment seat of Christ in 2 Corinthians 5 and 1 Corinthians 3, God is going to deal with our motives. The third thing you'll see here is that these issues are taken personally by Jesus. Now that's pretty obvious when you look at this, right? How is that the case? Well, when he says, inasmuch as you have done it to them, you have done it unto me. Or as much that you haven't done it for them, you have done it unto me. And what Jesus is saying is how we treat others, he takes personally. And particularly in how we treat God's people. So now let's look at these issues. So what does he judge them over? Number one, he judges them over their generosity. Notice what it says. It says in verse 35, ye gave me. Or, you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. You'll see in verse 42, you didn't give me meat, you didn't give me drink. And God is very interested in our generosity. And he wants us to be generous. Generosity is a demonstration of faith. It's a demonstration of gratitude. It's a demonstration of humility. And so when there is somebody that has a need and we give to them, Christ notices that. The second thing I want you to see is that He judges them on their compassion. He judges them on their compassion. You know, when I was a stranger, you took me in. When I was naked, verse 36, you clothed me. When I was sick, you visited me. When I was in prison, you came unto me. Verse 43, I was a stranger, and you didn't take me in. I was a stranger, verse 43. I was naked, and you clothed me not. I was sick and in prison, and you visited me not. So Jesus notices our compassion. And He knows when we are as cold as ice, and He knows that when we are very, very compassionate. The third thing we see here is He judges them over their identification. Their identification. Because who was He identifying Himself with? Verse 40, that verse says, "Inasmuch as you have done it unto the one of the least of who? My brethren." This is why this is known as the judgment of the Gentiles. Because they were basically, if you identify with Israel during the tribulation period, that's not a good thing. Because you're probably going to be persecuted. You know, isn't it interesting how Israel is always in the news? And that's because God has a special concern about Israel. It doesn't in any way condone any wrongdoings that Israel does, but He identifies them as His brethren. Now, obviously, if we are saved, we are called Christians. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 John, we are to love the brethren. And God is very concerned about the way we treat the brethren. And how we treat God's people tells a lot about us. Do we ignore them? Do we help them? Do we show compassion on them? Are we generous or are we stingy? So at the issue of judgment is identification. Number four, I got five of these. Number four, one of the things that God will judge them over are little things. Because it tells us in verse 40, "Inasmuch as you have done it unto the one of the what? Least of my brethren." Now, certainly you should treat those who are in leadership or authoritative positions in the right way. But what about the least of the brethren? Who would they be? Verse 45, "Inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not unto me." So this is why we need to pay attention to the little ones, the least important ones. I think, you know, sometimes people are a little bit different. Can I say it that way? That's not to try to be insulting, but people have, sometimes there's mental issues, right? And sometimes somebody is in a state of mind and they're just not 100% there. You know, the gospel light attracts sometimes strange bugs. Have you ever met some of them? And they demand of a lot of attention. And it's so easy for us to look at the weak and the feeble, the mentally challenged, can I use that without giving an insulting term, or children. And we look at them and it's such a tendency, they don't know what they're talking about. You know what? You know, let me give you a word of warning on this though. Give attention, show love to them, but when you do, don't be surprised when they are constantly calling you. And they're constantly texting you. Why? Because not many people want to spend time with them. You know, little children sometimes can do things that just can be so irritating. But red or yellow, black or white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. And God forbid that we would ever be a Christian that just kind of has a standoffish attitude towards somebody who just doesn't seem to be that important. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, be careful the man who is, let me put it this way, he kisses up to his superiors and he's rude to his inferiors. Be careful about a person like that. And the Bible tells us that this is a judgment concerning little things. Someone not that important. And then finally, one of the issues that God will face us with is neglect. Because one of the things that you see in this, the Lord Jesus' condemnation came not against wrong actions. His condemnation was done by the fact that people didn't do certain things. You know, these are sins of omission. Now, sins of commission we commit against God when we steal or break His commandments or we lie or whatever. But the sins of omission, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, James says, to him it is sin. So, it's fascinating that in this judgment, now not that God does not deal with the commission sins, but in this judgment, He judges them on the things of neglect, what they did not do. So no wonder when we come to this passage of Scripture, we can overlook the fact that these things are not obvious. And sometimes we don't realize that God is looking at our attitudes as much as He's looking at our actions. Now, Father, we ask that You would help us to always understand that the issues, whether it be this judgment or the judgment seat of Christ, the great white throne judgment, whatever they may be, Lord, we know that sometimes we're not paying attention and we're neglecting those things that we ought to not neglect. And Lord, we know that You are carefully observing us and You are watching us and You know every thought, You know every action, You know every neglect. And I pray that You would help us to be alert to these things. And Lord, we come to this passage and we see that You take what we do or not do with the brethren, You take it personally. And I ask, Lord, that we would not in any way show disrespect to You, that we would not be, that we would be generous and not stingy, that we would be compassionate and not cold, that we would understand that these things affect You personally, and even the least of things that are done, Lord, You watch that. And Lord, we ask that You would guide us. Help us to be faithful. Help us to understand the real issues at our judgment. And we'll praise You for it, for Jesus' sake. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming tonight.